B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Great call, man. He during that run, Todd Brenneman was Monty from Fox joining us right now to relive a little bit of it and get you people more upset at me. The great Tom Brenneman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tom!
Yeah. Oh, it was so much fun, wasn't it?
You nailed it, man. You had some incredible calls.
Thank you. Well, it was fun. You know, you do this stuff long enough, as you know, and you're so blessed to have the opportunity and the job and all that kind of thing. But you know, you'll get near the end of some seasons, and some stories are better than others. But I just found that we were lucky enough to get a lot of those Eagles games there over the final month. I think we had all of them except for the Dallas game, and it was just so fun. I mean, guys you never heard of.
Right.
And guys that just came out of nowhere. They became a team that was really easy to root for and see good things happen to a bunch of guys who nobody ever heard of when they started training camp.
That was the beauty of it. You know, it's funny because we love a narrative, a really good, fun story and a plot. And that was it. You had one call. I was one of my favorites. Because it was tough to see. It was the Wentz laser to Miles Sanders. And if you wouldn't mind indulging, I got to play it for you. I know sometimes people hate that, but I'm sorry, Tom. It's so good. You got to hear yourself.
That's all right. I appreciate it.
Here you go.
Rolling right and throws. And is it intercepted or a touchdown? It's caught in the back of the end zone by Sanders.
I love that call because
after I screwed it up, right?
No. Listen, it was perfect because it was tough. It was the angle was a tough angle, but it was such a miraculous throw. What it does is highlight how incredible that throw was because everybody watching it thought the same thing. Oh, that had to be picked off. How in the world did he get it? It's beautiful. It really is. I loved it, man.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I really do a lot because Lord knows, and you get it, and all of us get it, and we sometimes we deserve to get it, sometimes we don't. But when you get a nice compliment on your work sometimes, and it's nice to hear. I appreciate it. But it was, like I said, it just really was fun. I mean, you know, I could have been doing another game somewhere else that weekend, another team in the hunt, team that, you know, say Minnesota down the stretch there or Green Bay or somebody like that. But that Philadelphia team was just, they're a likable group, you know, starting with the head coach and Peterson and the PR guys. I mean, they're just really good guys.
Yeah, they are.
You know, we went in to do their games and they were always great, whatever we wanted to do, whenever we wanted to do it. And Fox was sending in some of the network people, whether it was Aaron Andrews or our sideline reporter, Shannon Spake, and all the players and the team just made themselves so accessible, and it was great. It was great. And believe me, I'm as big a cynic in the world as there is out there about, you know, some of the players today and some of the things they do, but the Eagles were just awesome.
You know, it was a lot of fun, as you brought up, the idea of these no-name kids. And, you know, it says a lot to Wentz. What did you think of Wentz's growth? You had done games earlier in the year, and you saw, you know, he had struggled with fumbles, and he had struggled protecting the football, a little erratic at times. And with these kids, he finished the season really strong, playing some great football.
Oh, he played great football. And it was just such a shame what happened once they got in the playoffs, and he gets hurt so early in a game because, you know, everything he's been through the last 2 years and the knee injury and the back injury and all that kind of thing. And Foles comes in and everybody knows what he did. And then all of a sudden people are starting to question Wentz, you know, is he getting along with his teammates? And some of those stories start up and then they start dropping like flies. And, you know, he just goes out there and gets it done with these guys. And Greg Ward, I mean, Chris Spielman, my partner, you know, was calling games when he was playing quarterback at Houston.
Yeah.
And you know, it was funny. I had a kid, a young man who's interested in becoming a broadcaster, came over to my house. Guy lives in our neighborhood about 2 weeks ago, and we were walking through some stuff, and I just happened to have the Philadelphia media guy. I hadn't thrown everything out yet, and I said, now here is, you know, this is the kind of stuff that really gets you going. And I flipped all the way back, and if you go look at the Eagles media guide this year, it's like page 284 that you're going to find a picture and a bio, and it's only a paragraph long of Greg Ward, Boston Scott,
yes,
you know, all these guys right down the road, you know, and you're just like, this is the stuff that makes it so much fun.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Well, that's why when you said, who is Boston Scott? It's awesome because everybody's wondering the same thing. And it's like the perfect, you know, it was really the perfect title of the game. If the game had a title, it would be, who is Boston Scott? And,
right,
you know, he has this miraculous game in 5-6, you know, running behind, you know, that big line. It's a wonderful story from that standpoint
it
as
is.
Well.
I mean, the kid walks on at Louisiana Tech, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. I've never asked anybody with the Saints because I didn't see him after the season was over, and we had had so many Philadelphia games. But I don't know what round the Saints drafted him in, like the sixth round or the seventh round or something like that off the top of my head. And to think that, you almost wonder, were they just doing a local guy a favor at that point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
then
the Eagles give them credit. I think the one thing that certainly stands out, maybe more than anything else about all those guys, is whoever the Eagles have scouting, not only college scouting, but watching preseason games of other teams, and to find a guy like Scott and to snatch him away off the practice squad, they know what they're doing over there.
We're talking to Tom Brenneman, Fox, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Do you believe in, you know, kind of it's such and such team's year? Like, you have great teams, but then you have this, it's their year, and you've been through these seasons. Like, is it the Niners' year, or is it Andy Reid finally getting his due?
Right, right. That's a good question. You know, I very much do believe that there are teams, it's just their year. I don't know how much of that it is in football, only because it's one game, and if you lose, you're done.
Yeah.
I think you tend to see those kinds of things more in sports where you have a series to determine a champion, where, you know, you might have a heavy favorite, you know, going in, like this year in the World Series, for example.
You know, I mean, look, the Nationals had a heck of a team. Everybody knew that. But you know, they're going up against this juggernaut over in the American League, and you're thinking, you know, it's just not going to happen. But then when you watch them progress, starting with the first round of the playoffs and then through the league championship series, and you're saying, hey, man, there's just something about this team. They're going to do it. And they did it.
Yeah, and it was funny. The only reason I brought up football was I think 2017 was like the Eagles' year. Because
agree with you 100% on that. Yes.
There was no expectations other than they got hot. And then when Wentz goes down, Foles, who, you know, flames out in Jacksonville this year, you know, somehow has the game of, you know, the two games of his life, basically. Crazy.
Yep. And I think you see that where teams, and it's not to diminish the entire team, but I think that's a case where you can see it with it. There's just an individual player that they just got something magical going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and Foles had that right from that first playoff game that year, and even at the end of the regular season. By the time after Carson got hurt, if I remember right, it was in Los Angeles. I was doing that game out at the Coliseum against the Rams.
Yes.
And just the way he took over the team, and they slowly started to just kind of get things going. It wasn't like he lit the thing up, you know, the first week out of the gate. But once they got it going, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you could tell it was their year that year.
All right. I got to get this. I got to ask you before we let you go. I thank you so much, Tommy. Sure. You're a baseball guy. I remember talking to you when I was way back in the day. I was covering the Mets. You are a baseball guy. What this cheating scandal? I don't think we even understand the gravity of how big it is and what it means. How did it affect you as a baseball guy?
Well, you know, I agree with you 100%. I don't think we really have. In fact, I'm right now on the Cincinnati Reds caravan, where we're bouncing around different cities all over the Midwest to get people fired up for the you know, upcoming baseball season. And, you know, everybody's talking about it. I'm on the bus right now traveling with David Bell, our manager, former Philly, of course, and Mike Moustakas, who the Reds just signed as a free agent this winter. And, I mean, I think what happens is, and you tell me if you agree with this, I think we're so used to 24-hour news cycles that even the biggest of the biggest of the biggest stories, whether they be in news or sports, you know, we almost become numb to them.
Yeah.
I agree. And I get the feeling that a lot of that's going on right now with this Astros thing, and that it'll fully, you know, hit full force, I think, once the season begins, and you start looking around and think that three guys that were going to be managing teams this upcoming season, and then three very high-profile teams, two really good teams, and then a team in New York City in the Mets, and all of a sudden the three managers are gone in the blink of an eye.
It's amazing. I mean, when you think about, you know, Altuve, and then they had the video of him where he's protecting his jersey.
Yeah. Yep.
And that he's wearing a device like, you know, like he's a casino cheat. It's unbelievable. Like, that's outrageous.
Unbelievable.
And then you look at his OPS splits, home and road, and yep. You got a whole thing as a fraud.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's why I was just shocked, to be honest with you, that there were not players that were, you know, quote unquote, suspended or indicted or whatever the word you want to use.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, that whole thing with them came from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Totally.
And the players were the ones running that whole operation. And I still cannot believe that there's not a single player that's going to pay some kind of penalty for what went on. You can make the argument that Beltran is the one guy that's paid the penalty because he was playing at the time, and now he's lost his job as a manager. But the actual active participants in Astros uniforms outside of Beltran, they haven't thrown the book at anybody, and I just can't believe it.
I know. I mean, it's got to come at some point. I got to believe.
Well, you would think. I don't know,
yeah.
Though. I mean, I don't know if it will or it won't.
Yeah.
You know, you get into the whole, you know, players union thing and the power of the players union thing, and, you know, what can you really prove, and then does it drag on and on and on and on, and I don't know how many guys are going to come forward to say, yeah, he was doing it or he wasn't doing it or whatever it might be. I quite frankly, I'd be shocked if something does come about for any of the players.
Wow. Tommy, great stuff, man. Listen, I really appreciate it. You're a joy to listen to. You're terrific. So thanks for everything,
thank you,
buddy.
Thank you very much. Thanks. I'll look forward to seeing you this summer.
You got it, buddy. There he is, Tom Brenneman on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.